This morning, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2, so I'm going to ask you to turn there in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. This is an account that takes place after the birth of Jesus, but there are some amazing waiters in the story, people who knew how to wait on God. And so we're going to read here from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. The message this morning is waiting with anticipation. Luke 2, starting in verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, that would be Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. That was what was to be offered by a family of little means, a poor family. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This account speaks about Simeon and Anna. Simeon has been waiting, it says in verse 25, for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. So he's been waiting. Anna, it tells us later in the account, speaks to those who look forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Simeon's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna speaks to those looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The Jews have been saved from slavery in Egypt by God hundreds of years earlier. They'd received the promised land. They'd become a great nation under David and under Solomon. From there, from the great kingdom of Solomon, it had been a decline. Eventually, they had been exiled. They'd lived under the rule of other nations and other peoples. Even worse, they'd never been able to live up to God's law, to God's expectation for them. Now the people languish, dispersed around the world. Their homeland is ruled by the Romans. They're looking for some comfort. They're supposed to be God's people. They're looking for God's consolation. And there's reason for hope. This is the hope that Simeon has. We find some of it in Isaiah. In Isaiah 49:13, it says, "Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Simeon knew those words. In Isaiah 51:3, it says, the Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And then also in Isaiah, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. That's what they were looking for. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were waiting for God's comfort. For Israel, for Jerusalem. And so these two people, Simeon and Anna, were waiting with hope. The same word here is used where it says that Simeon was waiting and where it says that Anna spoke to those who were looking forward. Looking forward, waiting, it's the same word. If you look at the original language, the same word is used there. That's the idea. This waiting is a looking forward. It's an expectation. It's an anticipation. It's waiting with anticipation. Now, I don't know if anticipation is really a Christmassy or a religious word, but I believe that it encompasses the words hope and faith. It's waiting with expectation that something is going to happen. We may not know exactly when or how or even exactly what it'll look like, but it's bound to happen sooner or later. When we wait with anticipation, we don't give up. Waiting with anticipation energizes us, while waiting without hope, simply waiting, drains our energy. You've had that experience. You're sitting in a traffic jam. You don't know when things are going to break up, when the traffic is going to get moving. You've got things you want to do, places you want to get to. Waiting in lines, it drains your energy. But this kind of waiting is to be a waiting with anticipation. So as I thought about this, it made me remember a commercial, which anybody my age or a bit older probably remembers the commercial about anticipation. I'd like you to see it this morning, if we can bring that up. Commercial about ketchup.
Boys, your ketchup's slow.
You mean your mom doesn't buy you Heinz?
No, why should she?
Wait till you taste it.
Heinz ketchup, the taste that's worth the wait.
Yeah, one person? I guess nobody watched TV back in that day. Anticipation, waiting for that ketchup to come out of the bottle. They say it was worth the wait. That's what the commercial says. Are you waiting for something that's worth waiting for? Simeon and Anna were. They were waiting for something worth waiting for. In particular, this morning, we're talking about waiting on God. What are you waiting on God for today? What are you waiting for in your life? And can you do that with anticipation? Because that's the kind of waiting that I'd like to be able to do, like Simeon and Anna did. I'd like to be able to wait with anticipation. Well, what are some keys to that? Some keys to waiting with anticipation. I think that we find some of those here in the scripture. We don't have too many details about Simeon, but he's presented as a righteous and a devout man. Surely he was a man who was seeking God. He was seeking God's will. He was seeking God's direction. One of the keys to waiting with anticipation is that we're people who seek God. To seek God. Perhaps Simeon was particularly interested in the coming of the Messiah. I kind of doubt that God simply told Simeon out of the blue one day, "Hey, you'll not die until you see the Messiah, Simeon." And Simeon's like, "What? I don't really think it happened that way." I think that Simeon was seeking God. That Simeon had this interest. That he was waiting for something and he had this interest in the Messiah. And as he sought after God, and as he asked God about this, "When, Lord, when are you going to send the Messiah?" That it was in that time of seeking that he received this promise from God. "Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah, until you see the consolation of Israel." My sense here in this passage is that not everyone maintained the waiting with anticipation attitude that we find in Simeon and Anna. Perhaps there was just a small community of saints that waited with them. That's what it says here in the scripture regarding Anna, that she spoke to those who were looking forward. Like maybe not everybody was ready to hear it from her, but she spoke to those who were. They were waiting and they were seeking, while others perhaps had given up. Simeon had come to understand God's heart. He knew that God intended to comfort and rescue his people from their troubles. He was sure of this, and he was waiting for the Lord's comfort to appear. Anna likewise had given her life to seeking God. She was in the temple fasting and praying for many years. So I want to encourage you this morning to be seeking God in your life. Maybe it's a particular concern that's on your heart that you want to seek God about. The point in seeking God is to learn what God's heart is on the matter. What's God want to do? What's God have in mind here? What is his intention? Get on board with that. When we know what God wants, it enables us to wait with anticipation. I think that's what was going on with Simeon and Anna. The scripture here implies that Simeon was advanced in years. He was ready to say, once he had seen the baby Jesus, that he could depart in peace now. He'd been waiting his whole life, and he didn't give up. He's living with this anticipation. He's full of faith. I'd imagine that Simeon didn't have the full picture. He probably did not know when he would see the consolation of Israel, the Lord's Christ, or where. What do you think he pictured? What do you think he had in mind when he had this promise that before he died, he would see the Messiah? What do you think he imagined? Didn't know where, didn't know exactly who it would be or what the circumstance of recognition would be. How would he know that it was the Messiah? Did he expect a baby? Or did he think that he would know when he saw the Christ in action, bringing deliverance as a man? Here it was, a baby. Perhaps he had come to understand more and more over the years as he studied the scriptures and as he lived life. But Simeon's holding on. He's holding on to God's word. It's another key to waiting with anticipation, is holding on to God's word. That's what Simeon's doing here, what he's been able to understand from the scriptures. He's holding on to those promises from God. But I really wonder if he imagined that it would be a baby that he would encounter. This may have been a clarification for him. Might have been a new part of the picture that he hadn't understood before. The second part of waiting with anticipation and holding on to the word is to remain open to clarification. God continues to reveal to us as we wait. It's actually a large part of what waiting on God is letting Him clarify and direct us. As Simeon takes the baby Jesus in his arms, he speaks. Perhaps he even has new clarity here of what God intends. Did he understand before that the comfort of Israel was not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles too? He declares this clearly here, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Maybe that was something new that he was understanding. Mary and Joseph, it says, marveled at the things that were said. Mary's been open since she first received the message from the angel. She's listened as she interacted with Elizabeth, John's mother. She has observed what happened when the shepherds visited. And now she takes in these new words from Simeon and from Anna. Joseph and Mary had been told that Jesus was the Messiah. They'd already received that. But perhaps this was the first time that they have perceived that he's the Savior, not just of Israel, but of the whole world. Perhaps they're learning more too. A part of anticipation is continued listening, observing, seeking. Anna spends her life waiting on God in the temple, praying, fasting, listening for God during this time of waiting. And Anna speaks to those looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. Now, Simeon had been waiting a long time. Perhaps he wondered if he was going to see this fulfillment as he got on in years. Surely he saw enough things in his life to think, hey, God, this seems like a good time. I think I should see the Messiah now, maybe today. Randy read Galatians 4:4 this morning. It says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son. Sometimes we say timing's everything. Everyone may not understand that timing. I'm convinced that we often do not understand God's timing. But Paul here in Galatians was convinced that God had sent His Son at just the right time. To trust God's timing requires that we trust God's goodness. To trust God's timing requires that we trust His goodness. That we trust His good intentions, that we trust His boundless knowledge, His understanding, His wisdom. In the Heinz commercial, the song says, anticipation is making me wait so long. That's what it said. What's that mean? The expectation of that great catch-up keeps one waiting. It makes one willing to wait for the catch-up to slowly come out of the bottle and not toss the bottle aside for some thinner, faster, more watered-down catch-up. It's worth the wait. You know how good it's going to taste. I know that's a little bit overboard for ketchup, but that's the point of the commercial. They're trying to affect your thoughts about ketchup. I've been waiting for a title to my new car, the one that I bought in Pennsylvania. I may have told you a little bit about that car that I bought down there that had the rebuilt title, and now all the stuff I have to go through in New York, and it finally passed the inspection, and I thought I was going to go register it right after the inspection, and then I realized, wait, how do I tell them over there at the DMV what happened? And they're like, oh, you have to wait for the title to come in the mail. So the car's still sitting in my driveway, and I'm waiting for the title to come in the mail, and it's been 3 weeks this last Tuesday. No title yet. So this past Tuesday, I went out to the mailbox, and I was working on the sermon on waiting, and I thought it would be a perfect sermon illustration if the title came today. The last day before the holiday when I could go down to the DMV in Elma and get the registration just in time, because I wanted Jeremy to be able to take the van back to school after the holiday. I opened the mailbox with anticipation. Two envelopes. One from Peace of the City. Underneath that one from Junk Mail. No title. The fullness of time has not yet arrived. But I trust it will. Now that's trusting in the New York DMV. Maybe not a good idea, I don't know. We'll see. But trusting God is a much better idea. And that's what we have to do. And maybe I've got my points backwards this morning. Because I think it starts with trusting God's goodness. And by trusting His goodness, being able to trust His timing. And when we do that, we'll be able to wait in anticipation. When we trust God's goodness, trust His timing. So what are you waiting for? What is it that you need God to do in your life, around you, and you're waiting? Are you waiting with anticipation? What do you understand about God's heart in the matter? Are you seeking Him? Are you continuing to remain open to what He's showing you? Will you trust God's goodness so that it instills anticipation for His answer? Trusting God's goodness is the hard one. Denise this morning is going to expressively dance to the song, Just Be Held. Often in the difficult times of waiting on God, we need to realize that as we look for a place to hold on, when it seems everything is spinning out of control, we need to rest in the truth that God is holding on to us the entire time. So I invite you this morning, as Denise comes forward, to meditate on trusting God, to being held by Him, trusting His goodness as you learn to wait in anticipation. Pray as the worship team comes up. Lord, we want to wait with anticipation. We want to be people who wait with anticipation of what You are doing, Lord. And Father, to do that, we have to be able to trust Your goodness, to trust that You hold on to us, that we are held by You. And so we ask that You would enable us, Lord, to trust You in that way, to know that You hold us, that even when it seems like we can't hold on, Lord, in fact, we can trust You to be holding us. As we wait and as we watch, as You reveal to us what You're doing and show us the way and provide everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.